this recent spat, I suppose, began... or in terms of our conversation here on LBC, began with the NFL row and Donald Trump's urging of the NFL bosses to sack players who took the knee, as the Americans say, when people sit out or knee out, I suppose, the national anthem, the American national anthem at games. But this time it's a basketball coach that's weighed in on this, San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich. And he has said that for him, North Korea saying that Donald Trump is effectively declaring war on them is where Donald Trump supporters need to draw the line. He was asked about his views on the NFL and what Trump had said about the NFL in a press conference, and this is what he had to say.
Our country's an embarrassment in the world. This is an individual who actually thought that when people held arms during the games that they were doing it to honor the flag. That's delusional, absolutely delusional, but it's what we have to live with. So you got a choice. We can continue to bounce our heads off the wall with his conduct, or we can decide that the institutions of our country are more important, that people are more important, that the decent America that we all thought we had and want is more important, and get down to business at the grassroots level and do what we have to do. I wonder what the people think about who voted for him, where their line is, how much they can take, where does the morality and the decency kick in. And I understand very well, you know, they didn't like their choice economically. A lot of people had a problem. He was the right guy at the right time. And people overlooked one hell of a lot to be able to pull that trigger and vote in that direction. But it was because they wanted change. They felt ignored. They actually thought something would happen that would aid them. But at what price is the question? And as we see the actions over and over and over again, one wonders what is in their heads.
That was San Antonio Spurs coach. He's a basketball coach, Greg Popovich. Simon Marks joins me now, LBC's Washington correspondent. I wasn't in that room, so I don't know. But you get the feeling that the people who asked him the question were quite surprised by that statement from him.
Well, I think that's absolutely right, Sheila. I mean, we're in this extraordinary cultural moment here in the United States where suddenly sports managers, sports coaches, sports commentators on television suddenly become political arbiters of what's taking place here. And that is entirely the creation of President Donald Trump. Remember, it was Donald Trump who, in extemporized remarks in Alabama last Friday, suddenly went after these predominantly black NFL players who have been kneeling rather than standing during the national anthem as a symbol of political protest. But, you know, Coach Popovich, who coaches the San Antonio Spurs down there in South Texas, it's a fascinating part of the world because, on the one hand, the city of San Antonio and the countryside around it is some of the most conservative terrain you can find in America. But then just 40 minutes up the road, you find the very liberal city of Austin in Texas. So there's a real debate taking place down there about Coach Popovich's remarks. And take a listen to what a caller to the South Texas equivalent of LBC had to say within the last hour. This was Matt speaking on KTSA radio across South Texas about what Coach Popovich had said in that press conference last night.
Hey, you know, Pop needs to look in the mirror. And talking about an embarrassment, he's embarrassed himself. You know what? If you and I did this, he's on the clock. We'd be running to the boss's office, probably reprimanded or maybe fired. Hey, Pop, if you're listening, shut up and play basketball.
So that's one opinion from one caller to a radio station down in South Texas. What is going on here, Sheila, though, is that Donald Trump is very, very cleverly and quite deliberately diverting people's attention onto this issue of the NFL and also onto the issue of Korea with his heightened rhetoric on North Korea. And he's diverting everyone's attention away from a series of other issues that are potentially very problematic for him. The federal government's lackluster response to the crisis in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Irma stormed through Puerto Rico, and then Hurricane Jose as well. Also the fact that last night here in Washington, D.C., yet another attempt by Republicans to repeal and reform Obamacare collapsed. And today in Alabama, President Trump appears to have backed the losing horse in a Republican primary ahead of a Senate race there. A loss for President Trump, which demonstrates that his juice among his base is not as potent as it used to be. So this is all diversion by Donald Trump, and it's very effective.
But even if it is diversion, it's diverting enough for South Korea, I should say, who technically have been at war with North Korea since the 50s, to call for people to take real care here, for us not to accidentally fall into a desperately dangerous war that can spiral out of control with North Korea. These are high stakes, Simon.
They are very high stakes, and it was very interesting that when the North Korean foreign minister went to the UN microphones yesterday and said that as far as he was concerned and Pyongyang was concerned, Donald Trump had effectively declared war on North Korea, he made it apparent that he wasn't actually talking about the speech at the United Nations last week. He was talking about the tweets that were put out by President Trump over the weekend. And this use of social media, this relentless use of Twitter by the president, presidential statements, we are told, these amount to by the White House press secretary, but they're not run past any of his senior staff. You and I will remember talking just a few weeks ago about General John Kelly, the new White House chief of staff. He was the man who was going to bring order and discipline to the chaos at the White House. It hasn't worked. He had his head in his hands last week at the United Nations, literally photographed with his head in his hands as Donald Trump threatened to destroy North Korea, remarks that had not been included in one of the late drafts of the speech that President Trump was making. He had no idea that the president was going to go off on this riff about the NFL in his speech on Friday in Alabama, and then all weekend long and into now Tuesday here in the United States on Twitter. And so, you know, Twitter is a wonderfully powerful tool, but it's also an extraordinarily dangerous tool when the person in the Korean case on the receiving end of these tweets is Kim Jong-un, another world leader who is mercurial, unpredictable, dangerous, and doesn't like feeling that he's being disrespected by the other side.
And also, I doubt whether he feels that any danger he's normally in, Kim Jong-un, can't be dealt with just by putting a bullet in someone's head. So if that's, because we know that that's what goes on in North Korea, but if he feels that is the only way he can maintain his position in the world is to, metaphorically speaking, put a bullet in someone's head, then we are in danger, aren't we?
Well, put a bullet in someone's head or press the button that erases Seoul, the capital of South Korea, from the map. I mean, that's the real danger here. And the real question for President Trump personally and the men and women who work for him is, what exactly is your military option in North Korea? You've spoken with all this bombast and bluster about destroying North Korea. He keeps intimating that he might launch a nuclear attack on North Korea. But, you know, Republicans and Democrats alike here in the United States, going back 40 years, have conceded that America's military options north of the 38th parallel are very limited. Indeed, that is the phrase that President Trump's own Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, supposedly a senior member of President Trump's entourage, he said just 3 weeks ago America has only very limited options in North Korea, and he said that they did not include military deployment north of the 38th parallel. So what exactly is the plan here if it goes beyond these headline-grabbing speeches and tweets? And if there is no plan, and it's only about headline-grabbing speeches and tweets, well, then it's very dangerous because the North Koreans are clearly reacting to those speeches and tweets that President Trump keeps putting into the public domain.
Thank you, Simon. Good to talk to you. Simon Marks, LBC's Washington correspondent. Do you remember the poster during the war? Well, I don't remember it, but we know about it. Careless talk costs lives. That was directed at ordinary citizens, wasn't it? Be careful who you speak to. Be careful what information you share. Who would have imagined that one day careless talk costs lives would be something we could advise to the President of the United States. But that's the situation that we are in. Do you believe that Donald Trump's careless talk, careless tweets could indeed cost lives, could indeed spark a war? 0345 6060 973, the number to call. You can text 84850 or tweet at LBC. We'll hear from the US Secretary of Defense in a moment, and the former US Secretary of State Madeleine Albright had something to say on this as well at a conference in Delhi. That's all coming up here on LBC. The